One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There's no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Well, this week is dedicated in a special way to remembering our loved ones, right? The All Souls. Just yesterday, we actually have the book up here of all the faithfully departed of the parish, all the saints. And those two ideas have been kind of in my head. I went for a walk, praying my rosary in a cemetery near my house there in Rye. It's actually, you can hear the traffic of 95 as you're in the cemetery, a little bit faint. But as I prayed and meditated, it is a real contrast, right? The hustle and bustle of everybody going up and down 95, places to go, people to see, things to do. And then the serenity of the cemetery, right, where it all stops, right? And you're reflecting, actually, there's an African-American cemetery there, and part of that from the 1800s. Just reflect, what's it all add up to, right? What's it all worth? What's a life worth living? What's a good life, you know? What really counts and lasts into eternity? I know those are big questions, but hey, that's what Mass is for, to reflect on the big questions, right? There's also a big concept that's been very popular in all kinds of fields, whether it's business, psychology, personal peace, this concept of integration, of being balanced, right? Like not exaggerating any one thing, but taking into account all the elements and making sure each one's present and proper in its place. And I think that's what's going through the heart of this scribe and why I want to focus on this. He asks Jesus, of all the 600 and some laws, of all the things we've accumulated as Jewish people over these thousands of years, all these things, God has said, what's the most important? What's the number one thing that we've got to remember? How many times have you asked that of some mentor? You know, like, what's really the most important? What have you learned throughout your life? Jesus gives him this, "Lord your God is the Lord alone. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." So I'd like to speak about those four ways in which we're called to love God, right? Let's look at them one by one. Christianizing our hearts, first of all. We have to Christianize, infuse our hearts with God's love, with his heart. That heart, we know, refers to that those deepest desires, right? The secret core of our being. Catechism 2563 puts it this way. The heart is the dwelling place where I am, where I live. According to the Semitic or biblical expression, the heart is the place to which I withdraw. It's that hidden center beyond the grasp of reason and others. Only the Spirit of God can fathom the human heart and know it fully. That's beautiful. How many times we'd like to understand the heart of our spouse, right? We're like, yeah, I don't think I quite grasp it fully, right? Only, and this is what the Catholic, only the Spirit of God can fathom the human heart and know it fully. It's a mystery. The love of God with all our hearts, so to love God with all our hearts really means then to desire him, to allow ourselves to feel and to feed a burning desire deep within us to know him better, to follow him better, to be united with him, right? St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest theologians of the church, was asked by his sister, the secret to becoming a saint. She wrote him a letter and asked him, "Hey, Thomas, hey, Tommy." She was the only one that could call him that. Now we call him St. Thomas. "What's the secret?" And he answered very simply, "To want to." A What's the secret to becoming a saint? To want to. Not just because it depends on our will. We need God's grace for sure, but no doubt we'll never get there if we don't desire it. Pope Francis just wrote a new encyclical called Dilexit Nos on the divine and human love of the heart of Jesus Christ, a whole meditation on the heart of Jesus, trying to understand the heart of God incarnate in Jesus. Highly recommend reading it. So we want to love him with all our hearts. The second, Christianizing our souls. When Jesus invites us to love God with all our souls, that second way to love God, he's inviting us to turn our desires into decisions. Not just to desire or to want it, but actually then make that concrete. What's unique about us, and I've mentioned this before, obvious, what's unique about the human soul is its capacity to make free choices, right? Plants and animals don't have that capacity. They're programmed by genetics and instincts alone, right? A rose can't wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'd like to be a lily or a daisy. Or dolphins don't decide just to change clothes on Tuesday, right, and throw on a fur coat. They are who they are. They're destined by nature. Human beings have the amazing capacity to freely choose and determine not only what we will do, but what kind of person we will become, right? Now, freedom, of course, isn't absolute. Our human nature has limits. We're not free, for example, to live here forever. But our freedom is still real, and our choices really define what kind of person we become. I guess if you look at it negatively, you know, if I repeatedly choose to lie and steal, I become that kind of person that people don't trust. If I repeatedly choose to serve others and to love them and to lay down my and make them the focus, I become a loving person. Who doesn't like being around a loving person? Right? All they're doing is caring for you. Every time we make a choice for God to live for him, we make a deposit in that bank of eternity. And not just that bank of eternity, we put a deposit in our own personal happiness. Christianizing our minds. Then Jesus invites us to love God with all our minds. We have to ask ourselves, what do we think about all the time? Are we absorbed with ourselves, or are we lovers of God, of his kingdom, of others' needs? We love our neighbor as ourself, like Jesus says today. To love God with all our minds means getting a handle on our thoughts and learning with God's help to see and understand ourselves and the world the way God does, to understand. We've talked a lot about wisdom in the last few homilies, right? That ability to see and understand the world the way God does. Seeking the truth, filling our minds with the truth, rather than filling it up with maybe superficial passing things, maybe the latest reality show or rumors or things we hear. We have to take time to put our minds to focus on what's really good for our souls. Just like diet recommends be attentive to what we let into our bodies, so our minds should be attentive to what we let into our spirits. Study the faith. How much time do we use our mind learning our faith more? Right? I've often made this joke, but it's apropos, you know, when you run into people on the street, it's, oh yeah, Father, I was an altar boy. And it's like, wow, it's a while, right? I hope your faith has matured since back when you were, you know, 13 or 12 or 11, right? But they almost kind of say, hey, that's my credit, you know, that's what I was 40 or 50 years ago. But we constantly have to keep investing in ourselves and growing our spirits and our minds, right? Christianizing our strength. This is the fourth way God asks us to love, or Jesus invites us to love God. The Old Testament invites us to love God with our strength. This is something that we don't often think about, the virtue of courage. When Jesus invites us to love God with all our strength, he's warning us that following him will not always be easy. There will be times when desiring or choosing or thinking as God wants us will be inconvenient or sometimes even dangerous. Jesus is telling us now that even in those times, it's worth it to love. Living in communion with God is the purpose of our lives and is worth everything. I was talking with one of you last night who had visited India recently and mentioned how some nuns there in an area of India that's under some persecution, remove the religious symbols on their convent, right? Well, they didn't. They disguised them. They put a fish instead of a cross, right? Because there's persecution. And it's not just India. There's probably no faith more persecuted than the Catholic faith around the world. More martyrs created in the last century than all the other centuries added together. That's statistically true. It takes courage. I don't want to prophesy about where culture is going, but some of you have told me, oh, Father, where is it all going, right? It's going to take courage no matter what. Even if you're the majority, it takes courage to live according to your convictions in all circumstances. So brothers and sisters, that's the invitation to love the Lord God with alone, but with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. So as we continue this Mass, let's ask for that strength. Let's open our hearts, right? Desire the prayers of this Mass as we listen to them. Be attentive, as I said, to bring it. Really use our senses to follow what's going on. Desire Jesus to come to us. Open our souls through our daily choices, our choices even of how we engage in this liturgy. Open our minds to God, to the Word of God, to the prayers, to let what we learn and know bring us deeper and deeper into the truth. And when Jesus renews his commitment to us in Holy Communion, let's renew our commitment to him, begging him, you know, to allow his infinite, irresistible strength to reinforce our human limitations and weakness. Echoing in our hearts the word of the psalmist, which we proclaimed, I love you, O Lord, my strength. O Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock of refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Praise be the Lord. Amen.